So, Chuck, how long have I had these glasses?
This is show number 3 with them.
Yeah, so I've had them about a month.
Roughly.
A little over a month.
Well, I don't know when you got them exactly.
Well, I got them about a month ago.
Okay.
Already I got a scratch in the lens.
Oh.
What up with that?
Did you get the insurance?
It's worthless. It's worthless.
What do you mean worthless?
It's an extra $99. They
what,
charge
the insurance?
It. Yeah.
Or you got to pay $99 to get them fixed?
Well, you got to pay to get the insurance.
Well, did you get it?
No, because it's going to get scratched anyway.
Don't you wish you did now?
No.
You're just going to live with scratched glasses for
the next couple years? For the next 11 months or so.
Yeah, my.
It just bugs me because I'm very particular. Mm-hmm. When it comes to cleaning glasses.
Where is the scratch?
It's not in the line of sight.
Vision?
It's
okay,
not in the line of vision. But still, it's akin to getting that first scratch in your car. You know, your new car.
Yeah.
Or getting that first pop in your
Did you get the
vinyl.
Scratch on the scratch
yeah,
coat on the lens?
The scratch coat on the lens and the whole deal. And then I went back and I said, there's a scratch here. And she says, well, we're not responsible for that. Once it leaves our shop. I mean, you could have cleaned it with sandpaper.
She's correct. They're not responsible.
So then why are they charging me that extra money for scratch-resistant lenses when they're not scratch-resistant?
They Did you ask that question?
Yeah, and they just shrugged their shoulders. And they said, that's the way it is. But see, back in the day, lenses used to be glass.
Mm-hmm. Now they're poly something or other.
Polycarbonate. And you breathe on them, they scratch.
I breathe on mine all the time because that's how I clean them.
Well, you're not supposed to. And I follow the instructions and I wet them down first to make sure that all the dust and grit is off of them before I use the
grit
prescribed soft cloth that they give you.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
But still, just bugs me.
Right. The old days, 2x4 was a 2x4. Nowadays, it's
two and three quarters.
I don't know. It's like
2x3 1 7/8 by 3 3/4,
something like that. I don't know. What up?
It just kind of bothers me because I thought maybe I could take care of them in July, August, or maybe September. Because my old glasses, they would get the scratches too. And then last fall when I had a bonfire, a piece of cinder kind of floated into the lens and melted it.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and...
What up with that?
And I figured, okay, it's October, November, December, January, February. That's 4 months.
Those are some big blazing bonfires we had, though.
Oh, yeah.
Blazing.
Yeah. So, we're going to have some more here as the spring
sets in. I got some wood for you. Just good. Remind me the next time. It's not like real good wood or anything, but I got to get rid of it.
I got some paper you can burn.
Sure.
Well, I love to destroy
confidential
stuff.
So here I'm not in the best of moods because I've got a little bit of a scratch in my lens.
Oh,
and it's not
like
a
that.
Big scratch. It's just the fact that there's a scratch, and it bugs me because I'm neurotic that way.
Mm-hmm. What'll be neurotic?
You know?
Hazard's drinking Pepsi.
I know.
Write this day down.
Well, he had some last week, too.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of, I don't know, I'm jonesing.
Usually he's got that Gatorade.
I know. I thought about it.
The Gatorade substitute, whatever that stuff is.
Powerade.
Powerade.
I was going to bring some, but I said, but.
I was going to get some soft drinks with stevia in it. You know, it's stevia.
Yeah.
It's a zero calorie. It's expensive.
Don't be buying that for me.
No, I won't.
Okay.
I mean, it's okay if you need carbonation or something. But
I just got a text message from Ron Whittables.
Well, what did it say?
Something about running out to pick up chips. Way at the mansion.
Yeah. I'm doing show prep. Because we hit the bird here at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a little late night snack, eh?
It's 22 minutes before the hour, and I'm going, whoa, where's the chip dip? So I ran out real quick.
You said the kids want to know what I'm always eating, huh?
Yeah.
Chips and dip.
All right.
There's the answer to that question.
Let's start this.
Do it.
Because I have a performance review coming up.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I saw.
I got questions.
All right. The views and comments expressed on the following program do not reflect those of the Avondale or Bloomfield Hills school districts, their respective school board superintendents, managers, teachers, or staff, or the staff of WBFH, its management or staff either. By the way, I'm the manager, so none of this offends me.
No.
It's not what I have to say.
Mm-mm.
In fact, the only person responsible for the content of the following program is
Hazard.
If you happen to be offended by what we say and are forced to flee to your locally designated safe place, or maybe March on Washington. We humbly apologize beforehand. We mean no harm and certainly have no agenda. We're just exercising our privilege to take the transmitter out for a short drive this evening. Once we're done, we'll return the keys to the transmitter shack and then duck out the back door. So please, please, please don't call the cops. We can't afford bail. Instead, just relax and enjoy our little old dog and pony show.
It's time to dust off the Atwater Kent and have another go at it. Bloomfield Community Radio presents Motor City Static, the only live and local thing happening this side of the railroad tracks. Turn off that TV. Put down that cell phone. Throw away that trashy novel.
But it was the pictures anyway.
We've got a better way to waste your quality time. And all you need to do is pay attention. From the studios somewhere near the Grand Trunk Western, Motor City Static is on the air.
Emanating from the luxurious yet not overly ostentatious confines of a studio near the Grand Trunk Western, this is Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. Ron, Chuck, and Hazard. Seems like we just did this last week.
We did.
Time's flying.
Mm-hmm. Rave reviews, I've heard.
Yeah, that was a good show.
Critically acclaimed.
It was. It were. Mm-hmm.
Wait till I hear tonight's broadcast. I'm sure we'll get critical again.
Sure, we will. We're on the network, WBFH Bloomfield Hills and WAHS Auburn Hills. That's the Avondale High School. And they have a website, and I'm trying to remember. I think it's WAHS. Let me find it out here.
You know why we're
I meant to write this down, but
you know
I
why we're on two channels, don't you, Ron?
Why is that?
Because one just isn't big enough.
Yes, it is. I think it's WAHSradio.org, but we'll figure that one out.
Yeah, yeah. How's our buddy doing over there?
Wes is doing fine.
When's he coming in again?
I don't know. Probably around the summer.
We had a rip-roaring good time when he was here.
Yeah, we did. We always do. He's class of 2001 over there.
I'm going to have to get a different producer for Big Words with Ron.
What happened?
Oh, man, he's just got softball after softball. You're going to be hitting these out like Tiger batting practice. Opening day Thursday, by the way.
Yep. WAHSradio.wordpress.com.
I think I'm going to play hooky that day.
Go ahead.
Maybe, I don't know if I'll go down to watch the game. I know I'm not going to go watch the game. And I don't want to be one of those tailgate people who just goes down there to tailgate and doesn't watch the game.
Yeah.
But I may go watch the game somewhere.
That'd be nice.
Opening day. I have, you know, nobody is really picking the Tigers to do anything this year.
No.
In fact, most people are expecting them to be in last place.
Garden hires the new coach.
Which is a great
manager
position to be in.
Yeah, because people don't expect it.
Right. You hit them while they're not looking.
Kind of like Trump in that 2016 election.
Yeah.
Anyway, I erred. It is WAHSradio.org, WAHSradio.org. That's the website, and it's real nice. Kim McNee and Mitchell Payne and the staff and Keith Fraley, Wes Meisnitzer, and all those people are there. So this is Sunday. It's also Palm Sunday.
Yeah.
And I'm very...
Did you get a palm frond?
I've got two palm fronds.
Really?
I not only did the Catholic Mass at 7:30 this morning,
mm-hmm.
but then I ducked out, got a quick little Mickey D's, and then came back for the 9 o'clock services at the Zion Church of Christ.
So you were a Catholic and then an undercover Catholic.
That's right. And I was doubly blessed today, and it was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you last week, Hazard, that I would go and see you.
You did.
Was he surprised when he saw you there, though?
No.
Did you say hi to Pastor Scott?
Oh, yeah. Hazard was a little bit nervous in the, what do they call it, the ante room there?
Was he?
Yeah.
The narthex?
Yeah. If you've never...
Got his hair all clean and everything for the role, I see. Might even got you get a trim, too?
No.
No?
The building is very old.
I've been in it.
And it's funny because my sister Lori is up in... Oscoda, and her church has got the same footprint as that church.
Oh, really?
Apparently, all those church buildings went up at the same time, and there was some sort of universal design.
Could be.
And it was it's a nice little church. Yeah, it's a lovely church. When you're in that church, you don't feel like you're in the middle of Mount Clemens at all.
I've been in there 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Never for a service. One time I went to help Hazard move something that the church was going to throw away, and he took over to his mansion.
Well,
one time we used it as a cut-through. Hazard has keys for the building.
Yeah, he's the caretaker, isn't he?
The first time I went there for an official business was for a spaghetti dinner fundraiser for our former guest, Amy Prawl.
Saw her today.
Did you?
Yeah, I didn't get to talk to her. She kind of passed me like a ship in the night. I don't know if she just didn't
recognize me. Maybe she was focused.
It was a busy day. Her and her sister are both getting married this year. So their future spouses were in attendance. So because they were doing a counseling, premarital counseling.
What?
You know, like if you're Catholic and you're going
to get 6 months, to figure out whether or not you want to go through.
Well, you do premarital counseling,
and then so they were doing that during the same.
No. But I mean, I'm sure that's what she was thinking about.
Oh, that's what she was thinking about.
Yeah.
Okay. It can be nerve-wracking.
Because Pastor Scott doesn't work, but the service on Sunday, right?
Yeah, normally that's it. But today, the Prowl family, like I said, both girls are getting married this year, so both their fiancés were in attendance.
That's good.
So.
Well, that's good.
So anyway, I hung out there, and our boy did well.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wow.
He had a little pre-show jitter going on there. He was introducing me to some of the congregants, and they were kind of busting his chops a little bit. Hey, don't get overconfident; you'll blow the line.
Did he have? Did they have costumes?
No, not at all.
No.
Well, actually, Hazard.
He had a
robe.
Nice shirt on here.
He had a robe.
Was it his bathrobe?
No. It was like a choir robe.
Oh, okay.
Without the purple collar.
Yeah.
Or the sash.
Yeah, they came to me at the last minute, and they said, would you mind throwing a robe on? I said, hey, that'll work.
Because you were very casual, and I even was a bit, what's the word I'm looking for here? Surprised that you were so casual.
Hazard's a casual dude.
I'm a casual dude.
I maybe dress slacks and a collared shirt.
Sometimes, but, you know, it depends on what's on the agenda that day.
Yeah,
and actually, I thought it was
the nicest shirt I've ever seen him in.
I thought they were going to throw me in a robe, though, or you know, a hoodie robe.
Well, I was expecting sandals and beard the whole thing.
He didn't take my advice.
Yeah, but apparently they approached him and said, "Can you take off the Metallica shirt?" And
they like the hair.
Yeah. Hey, they hired him for the hair. Okay?
Yeah,
the rest, the hair. You know, they know what they're getting.
So we're having this service, and it was. There was not an official start to the service. I'm watching Pastor Scott. He sits down in the on the altar facing us, and I'm expecting pre-show trailers, because that's what they do with the Catholic Church. You know, they show a cartoon, then they tell you what's going on, and then you all rise and you have the entrance hymn. Over there, they have the organ music in the background, and it's really nice. And then all of a sudden, he starts preaching. I'm going, "Whoa, wait a minute!"
There was that thing where everybody was kind of.
Well, they are undercover Catholics after all. They gotta, sneak it up on you.
And then
a little waving.
Then Pastor Scott gives the invocation, and then he says, "Go ahead and talk to everybody." And that's the part where I'm a little uncomfortable because I don't know anyone there.
Right.
Complete strangers are slapping you on the back. Hey, I don't know you. What are you doing here? I'm going, "Well, I'm a friend of Jeff Hazard," and they're going, "Oh," and then they kind of slink off, you know?
Yeah.
You would admit to knowing Hazard?
Yeah, that's my least favorite thing about attending a church service is that whole sharing of the peace thing. Can't I just sit in the back and be quiet?
Well, it's an awkward thing for me at St. Pete's Church because who do you turn to first? I mean, couples that go, husbands and wives, they turn to each other.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there. I'm the odd man out because I go to church by myself.
Right, you're the third wheel.
Yeah. And then they turn towards their partner. Then they turn away from their partner and they look at me and they go, "Oh, you know, peace be with you and hi, how you doing?" and all that. And I understand it's a mixer thing to break down the, the barriers and all that. But I'm just, I'm very shy, and people don't believe that.
Right. Yeah.
But it's an awkward moment because then someone reaches out to you, and you're reaching out to someone else, and you're going, oh, wait, hang on. So then you grab two hands at the same time, and then if they're 50 feet away from you, you flash in the peace sign, you know?
And you know what I've found, too? I'm going to say this because the thought came to my mind, and not that I go to a lot of church services, but I've found that the smaller the church, the more awkward that is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
you can't hide.
Then they know everybody. When there's only, you know, 100 people that show up every week, they know everybody.
Yeah.
But if you go to like one of those big churches where it's like 1,000 people, you're like Flynn.
I know.
Fist bump a couple people. What up?
What up?
So I'm sitting there in the Zion Church of Christ going, I feel so alone.
Yeah, well.
But anyway, Hazard's little of performance went was flawless. He spoke up.
How many lines did he have?
I think it three. He had two sections and three lines total. And when they went to the garden, Hazard brought the two guys. Was it Simon Peter and who else? What was the other apostle?
He was unnamed.
Yeah, unnamed. So he sits them right behind me in the pew. Okay? Uh-huh. And it's funny because then Hazard walks up to the altar, and then they play a section from Jesus Christ Superstar where, who's the actor? He's in the desert, the garden. And yeah. He's,
I don't know who the actor is.
So I'm listening to these two guys trying to figure out what their cue is. Is Jeff going to come get us? What do we do? You know? And then Jeff comes back and...
Wait, did you see the one guy? He was like fake, not enough.
Yeah. Yeah, he was getting into it.
Okay, I got a question, Hazard.
Yeah.
So you were, I mean, because you were the big man in this, right? I mean, this was your gig. You're playing Jesus, right?
JC.
So did you have like exchanges with other actors, or were you just kind of laying it down?
I was just kind of laying it down.
All right, give us your line, your first line.
Well, I mean, initially what happened was there was telling of the story of me sending two apostles into the town.
Jesus sending two apostles into the town.
Sent them into the town to get a cult that it had been unridden before.
I read about this morning. Go ahead.
So I said something like, if anyone says to you, why say, say to them, if anyone asks you why you're doing this, say to them, the Lord needs it and we'll send it back immediately. And it was an unridden cult.
Okay.
So that when I come into town, JC, when he came into town, he was writing, they're going Hosanna and throwing the palms down. So our scene is called The Garden. And I come rolling in and I go,
were you on a cult?
No, I wasn't on a cult.
Okay.
But I come in.
I come rolling in
and I said, I go,
he forgot his lines already.
I know.
Yeah, it says, I am deeply grieved, even unto death. Or no, originally I say, I need to pray. I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain a while I remain here and stay awake.
Mm-hmm.
So that's okay. What I say. So then we go up, I watch the movie, blah, 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 and I come back and I go, Simon? Are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour?
Oh, that's good. You delivered that one well.
Yeah.
And I was kind of, if you watched me.
It's kind of like, Ron, what up with the dishes?
I had the robot, right? So they're like, and I walked real deliberate. Did you just notice that? I walked real deliberate.
You were in character.
I was in character.
He was in character. He had the stern demeanor about him as a man who would be disappointed and knowing that he would be betrayed. It was a good thing.
And,
yeah, did it well, huh?
And they came up. You didn't see when we were going down the hall or social hall. That lady in front of you. Did you hear what she said?
No, what?
She said, "Why didn't you sing that song that the guy was singing?"
Oh,
you could have did it better.
That's funny.
Well, take that as a compliment.
So I was.
So anyway, it was a wonderful service. They had the bell choir there.
Wow, they went all out.
Yeah, Amy and what's her sister's name?
Carrie,
Amy and Carrie and the ladies were singing and it was very nice. And there was the guy, the bell that he had were huge. They were like, they were huge. They must have been like 18 inches across.
They were, dude, they were like this big.
Huge, like a bass bell or whatever.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And I saw, tell them the highlight, though, of the morning was coming down to the social hall.
Yeah.
For hot dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was odd because part of the service is when they have the final exit song, you're not supposed to congregate. You're supposed to leave the sanctuary solemnly because, mm-hmm. You know how the story ends.
Right.
So then I'm walking out and Hazard says, hey, go down to the social hall. What for? Hot dogs. I'm going, what?
Hazard's always knows where the free meals are.
So and he ordered me to go into the receiving line to say hi to Pastor Scott, which I wanted to do anyway. Mm-hmm. And I said, peace be with you, Pastor Scott. And he says, peace unto you. And he was very happy to see me.
Well, that's good. He's a cool dude.
He's very cool. So then after that, I met Hazard down the hallway, mm-hmm. and I tried to get Amy's attention again. We passed the second time, and she was just like a laser. So then I went to the social hall, and...
Well, she had a lot on her mind.
Yeah, I'm sure she does.
All right.
So that was nice, and Jeff, thank you very much, and it was a pleasure to support your endeavor today.
I appreciate your appearance.
But you understand I didn't go to communion because I already had communion.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah.
That was something, dude. No, they normally don't do communion like that, but it was funny because I walked up there and I go, what up?
They give the unleavened bread, and then there was a thimble full of wine, right?
Yeah. Normally when we do it, we do the bread first, we eat it, then we go back up for the consecration of the cup, right. And then do the wine.
Was it real bread or those little wafers that stick to the roof of your mouth?
Real bread.
Wow.
Yeah, and Pastor Scott broke a...
ceremonial bread, loaf of bread.
Loaf of bread, and see, in the Catholic Church, you get the little wafers.
Yeah.
And we all run up, and then we've got the wine to the side. But that was real nice. And then those little thimbles, are they rewashed and used? They're glass, right?
No, it's plastic, and you just pitch them.
Okay. Well, for hygienic purposes.
Recycle them.
Yeah. And they normally do a wine or white grape juice.
Yeah, for non-imbibers.
Or those underage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
all right.
Well, congratulations. I was very pleased. Another thing that brings us closer together is brothers.
Yep.
Not only do we do a broadcast, but we also worship together. And that is pretty cool.
That was cool. I liked it. Right.
So, Palm Sunday. Next Sunday's Easter. We're not going to be here.
No.
Going to take the weekend off and then back with John Kopp.
Yes.
So, he'll be with us. And we'll learn about Team Jitterbug's endeavors over the last year.
Yeah.
And,
he is geeked.
Good.
I saw him last night. He is geeked to be back. Yeah.
It's something. We do the show, and sometimes we take it for granted, but it's really nice, and it's a renewal to see someone who's excited about mm-hmm. being on the show, so I appreciate that. All right. I've been babbling on a long time, so let's see if we can get a song in here.
All right, Ron. We're going to play one here from a CD called Sing It Again, Rod. This is Rod Stewart with Reason to Believe. On Motor City Static.
That's Reason to Believe.
That's the next song.
It sneaked in there. It sneaked in. Yep. What kind of a CD is that? There's no stop in it? Or?
That's Greatest Hits, actually. I don't know. Maybe I don't have the cue button on over here.
Could be there. Anyway, Rod Stewart there. Reason to Believe here on Motor City Static. Ron Chuck Hazard on the best radio broadcast you'll hear all weekend long. We have a website, MotorCityStatic.com, MotorCityStatic.com. The podcast of this here broadcast will reside there for a week. Actually, it's going to be 2 weeks because we won't have anything next Sunday.
Yeah.
So you can tell your friends and neighbors about it.
Speaking of websites.
Yeah.
MotorCityAquariumSociety.com is back online.
Okay.
No more Beats by Dre or binoculars on there. It's all about the fish.
All about the fish.
So go check it out. Our webmaster does a great job.
All right. Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network, WBFH Bloomfield Hills, and WAHS Auburn Hills. We'll be back with segment two after these messages. Yeah, good thing I got that belch out before we hit the air. That would
that'd be something I would do.
Yeah.
Who are those characters used to be on the radio? They used to eat on the air. They used to belch on the air. Kramer and Twitch.
Kramer and Twitch. And before that, Steve Dahl. And
he'd eat and belch?
Oh, yeah.
I love those guys.
Yeah.
See, that's how I'm just trying to be like Kramer and Twitch and Steve Dahl.
Yeah. Speaking of legendary broadcasters, mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys got a chance to catch this before the broadcast tonight, but they had a segment of Don Imus on 60 Minutes.
No, didn't see it.
Okay.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, he's 77 years old, wow. And because of budget cuts over there at Entercom, they dumped him.
Wow.
He's making a lot of money. And that's the way that the business is going. A lot of the personalities that we are accustomed to have been forced to retire or seek work elsewhere.
Oh, let's talk about radio. Chuck, I got a story for you, my friend.
What's that?
Well, I'm a listener of satellite radio.
As am I? Shannon
I'm
Guns?
I'm just not a fan of commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So my six-month deal was coming up due.
You couldn't use the same line I use when I call, so what'd you say?
So I said to him, I said, listen, hey, I said I want the Chuck Riffenberg deal.
And did I'm, you?
Yeah, well, of course. So the guy starts off.
Chuck is
so
laughing.
I always say, I want the Jeff Hazard deal, and now he's saying, I want the Chuck Riffenberg deal.
So I get this gentleman, okay. And he was... we're going to say he was a citizen not of this country. I'll just say that.
Okay. And doesn't he mean he the, doesn't do good work?
And he went with the name of Bob. He says, my name is Bob.
No, my name is Bob.
Yeah, he said, my name is Bob. And he started reading something, and he started going out, and I said, Bob.
Oh, geez.
I said, I want the same deal as I previous had in the 6 months. If you can't match it, I don't want it. I'll just the regular rate is $97 for 6 months. I'm not paying that. Sorry, sir. So he starts going off on something, and then he comes back, $35.66. All right. I don't know why you're going lower, but I'll work with you.
Right.
Because I pay a little bit more. So they do a recording where they read back what you're agreeing to, and you have to give them the confirmation. So I said, I confirm for $35.66, that, or whatever that figure was.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I agreed to. So later in the day, I happen to be checking my banking statement on account, and I hear this charge for, I hear two charges.
Two charges?
Two charges. So I call my financial institution. I said, hey, what up with this? And the guy goes, well, it's been presented. And I said, well, I never authorized this, the one charge. And he says, well, you're going to have to talk to the vendor. So I get it back on the phone.
Was that debit? Is that why?
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, so I called the vendor, and I'm asking for a supervisor, and I said, can I have one who speaks English?
Oh, we love when you do that. Go ahead.
So of course I get this. I get, hi, my name is Siri. I am here to help you.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm like, I want a supervisor who speaks English that I can understand. Oh, we have a heavy, no, that's a static. Oh, sorry, don't know. So I call back, and I'm doing this Bluetooth through my car. So I call back, and I get Pablo.
Pablo?
Pablo, where are you at? Guatemala City. Well, listen, Pablo, we've got a problem here.
Man.
And he's like, this, my friend, what the? But he was pretty cool. But here's the goofy thing. The length of my program was 6 months, and it was the 21st through the 21st. So I'm calling on the 21st, whatever day it was, but actually I should have been ahead. So I asked him, I said, when is the plan? A lot of them, you know, are like 12 o'clock midnight.
Yeah,
11, or 12 o'clock, 12 p.m. Eastern or wherever.
Yeah, to 11:59 p.m.
Yeah. So I said, what is the cutoff date? And this is what I hear. That is a good question. I do not know. So I ended up getting a refund back on my the one charge.
Well, good for you. Stand up
but
for yourself.
But they didn't know. So next time, I'm going to call at least 2 days ahead before the expiration. Mm-hmm. And
I have a
hazard. You didn't get my deal.
No, I didn't.
Actually, I did. I got a better deal because I'm paying 35.
I'm going to pay 30.
For 6 months?
What?
Wait a minute. For 6 months?
Yeah.
$30 for 6 months?
Yeah, $5 a month.
What?
And I got your deal. So they got you, Bob. Yeah. They got you.
You got my first 6 month deal. Yeah.
My experience was similar the last time, but I got my $30 for 6 months, wow, and not a penny more because that's what Jeff Hazard pays. That's what I told him.
Yeah. I want the Jeff Hazard deal. I want it now.
Yep.
Get your supervisor to authorize this, or I'm
slamming
the receiver.
Well, actually,
that's
what they had to do. They had to get a supervisor because they didn't have the empowerment to give me that price. But when the supervisor got on the phone, it was like, bloop, no problem. You're all set.
Well, I'm wondering how long this business model is going to last, because people are used to getting deals for free, and they're not putting up with that. They're doing what you guys are doing and negotiating down, which is wonderful.
Yeah. They're still making money.
Well, they are.
These people, that the radio hosts, it's insane. They'll do like a 6 hour shift on one station, and then they'll go and do a 6 hour shift on another station.
Yeah, it's all voice tracked. Some of them are live.
Oh, so they just do the intros and outros.
Yeah. I mean, we do some of that. I'm teaching the kids how to do that here.
Okay, yeah, because it's going to be you helpful.
Oh, yeah, because you talk about what's name. He just. Going to go down the hall.
I'm going to go down the hall and be on Ozzy's Boneyard, you know, and then, they're going to go down the hall, be on Hair Nation.
Well, they're in Washington, D.C., and it's a corridor, and the studios are, you know, 30
stations.
Well,
the one guy is supposed to be in Nashville.
Yeah, there's another guy out in L.A., too. And
well,
it's
possible.
New York.
Well, Pat St. John's in San Diego. So,
heck, some of them probably do it from their basement studios and just upload it.
Hey. That's an idea. Yeah, then we wouldn't have to drive all this way to be here and do the show.
But anyway, I like seeing you guys.
I forgot what time it was. Sorry. What time is it?
It's time for This Day in Rock History with Chuck Riffenberg. What happened, Uncle Chuck?
Well, Imani, it just so happens that on this date in 1958, having been sworn in as Private 5331 0761, the previous day. Are you going to walk on my story here, Hazard?
Yeah, Hazard, you're in timeout now.
But this isn't Hazard a guess. The previous day, Elvis Presley received the regulation short back and sides haircut from Army barber James Peterson. Presley would earn $78 per month as an Army private.
Yeah.
A lot happened on this date, Ron Hazard and Imani, in 1967. But of note, The Who and Cream made their U.S. concert debut at RKO 58th Street Theater, New York City, as part of a rock and roll extravaganza promoted by DJ Murray the K. On this date in 1969, John Lennon and Yoko Ono started their week-long bed-in in the presidential suite at the Amsterdam Hilton Hotel. The couple invited the world's press into their hotel room every day to talk about promoting world peace. On this date in 2002, Bono from U2 made an appearance at the Air Rage trial of REM guitarist Peter Buck, telling the court, "I came to court because Peter is actually famously known for being a peaceable person. I once had to twist his arm to get him into a boxing match." Buck was later cleared of all charges. He had been accused of attacking two cabin staff and covering them in yogurt, knocking over a trolley, and trying to steal a knife.
Oh, boy.
And finally, Ron Hazard and Imani, on this date in 2015, Radiohead's seminal album OK Computer became one of 25 recordings to be preserved by the U.S. Library of Congress.
How about that?
It was joined by Benny King's Stand By Me and recordings by Joan Baez, The Doors, The Righteous Brothers, and Steve Martin. Let's take a listen to some John Lennon on Motor City Static.
It's John Lennon and the Plastic Ono Band, Whatever Gets You Through the Night, here on Motor City Static, the only radio broadcast you'll ever need on a weekend.
That was one funky bass line, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good.
That's from the Walls and Bridges album.
Yeah. And I miss the guy.
Yeah.
Would have been interesting to have him around to comment on the 80s and the 90s and the aughts and now the teens.
I'm sure you wouldn't have liked what he had to say.
No, I think it would have been interesting just to put it in the the mix of things.
They had the peace marches yesterday. Yeah. You see that?
And I was going to bring it up.
And Paul McCartney was there.
Yeah. And, you know, more power to them if they feel that that's going to make a change. But I saw his quote. I guess they asked him why he was there. And he said, well, I lost a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Which is true.
John Lennon. Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing, you know, I was thinking, I was watching some of the posts on social media yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stories on Yahoo. And I thought to myself, it's like the 60s all over again, but bigger.
Well,
without a war. I mean, the war is like internal now with all the mass shootings and bombings and stuff within our own borders. But the amounts of people showing up to these places, and it's all over the country at the same time. And
you have to factor in the social media.
Mm-hmm. So, oh, absolutely.
I mean, if you had this in the 60s, if you had the technology, I'm sure you'd have the same result.
Some of our colleagues were there.
Yeah.
Sue Sweetman was in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. marching. Scott Brown marched in Detroit.
Yeah.
And a few others that we know.
Well, good for them.
Speaking of colleagues... Saw Benka posted on Facebook the other day.
How's he doing?
He seems to be in good spirits.
Yeah.
He's his brother and sister-in-law had sent him edible arrangements.
Oh, I saw that too, yeah.
It's very lovely. And then, yeah, he seems to be in good spirits, which is good.
I don't know if he'd want us to talk about it, but...
Well, we wish him well.
Wish him well. He's
thoughts and prayers and all that stuff.
University of Michigan Hospital in Ann Arbor, and it's not a. I don't want to say this, but as far as I know, it's not a life-threatening illness. It's basically something that's annoying.
Okay.
And that's about as far as I'll go.
All right.
Because apparently his vitals are great.
Well, that's good.
So he's got a little malady that he's trying to work on. So
malady. Big word. Big word.
Out of respect for Mr. Banka, we'll leave it at that.
Well, maybe someday he'll come in and tell us all about it.
Oh, I'd love to.
Someday soon.
Hopefully we can laugh about it, but...
Yeah. Well, if Banka's involved, you know there's going to be laughter.
Yes. Anyway, speaking of words, we've got our contest.
Yeah, I got to talk to the producer.
Big Words with Ron is coming up. I did 5 for 5 last week, and I have a feeling that the... black cloud is on the horizon, and I'm not going to do so well this week, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you're going to be like Miguel Cabrera during batting practice with a 14-year-old pitching to him.
Oh, boy.
I think you're going to do okay.
Oh, I'm going to do okay. All right. And then we have our, how do I say this? Is it our marquee contest? It's the show closer.
The one that everybody listens to.
And everyone plays along at home or in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Hazard a guess. Since it's Palm Sunday, I figured let's get in the Lenten / Easter spirit. And I've got 3 questions about Easter and Lent.
Okay.
So we'll.
Well, I'm playing against Jesus for this then.
Yeah, that's absolutely
I don't think
correct.
This is fair at all. Like, you know, I didn't want to mention it earlier because we were on a, you know, coming up against the clock, but you guys mentioned about Jesus riding in on a colt.
Right.
So I was reading this morning one of those little pamphlets that Hazard hooks us up with from time to time.
Uh-huh.
And I saw the word colt. For the first time. I mean, I was force-fed Lutheranism from the time I was conceived until I was about 16. Okay. Well, maybe even a little longer than that.
Yeah.
And I never heard of this colt before.
Oh, yeah.
I always thought it was a burro or a donkey or something. I used to have to go watch these movies during Ash Wednesday up in the thing with a bunch of people that we shot rubber bands at each other instead of watching the movie. But there was never a colt. It was always a donkey.
Yeah.
Now, my question is a young donkey called a colt?
I don't know.
You would probably come to me for that answer.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was always a donkey. I was a little surprised, too.
Now it's a colt. I pictured this like young racehorse.
Was it is it a Hazard? Do you know this? I'm not a scholar. I'm not a biblical person.
Well, I mean, was it an actual horse? Was it a donkey?
Is it a translation
was it a mule?
Thing?
What's the thing? What's going on here?
I mean, if you don't know, you don't know. I don't mean to put
I'm going
to
Google it.
No.
I wish we had Pastor Scott on the speed dial.
On the first book of Jeff. to the Riffenbergs. First letter of Jeff to Riffenbergs.
That's going to be one heck of a story.
From the first text message.
Yeah. He said, "What up?" And that's a good question.
See, now here it is. The first thing you Googled, they brought the donkey and the colt.
Ah.
Oh, the donkey and its colt and laid some clothes on their back.
Yeah, I remember that part.
So this has got two animals. So the answer to my question is a young donkey is indeed a colt.
Is it?
They said it says they brought the donkey and its colt.
Well, then there'd be two.
Yeah.
Huh.
We don't think Jesus is going to ride in on one thing, do you? He had an entourage. Yeah, what do they call that when the president rides in? He's going to have just one car. He's got like six or eight.
Yeah, it's a point well taken. Anyway, Punxsutawney Phil is a wanted groundhog. A Pennsylvania sheriff's officer has put up a wanted poster for Phil. The handlers of the groundhog last month said the furry rodent called for 6 more weeks of winter after seeing his shadow. Now the Monroe County Sheriff's Office says that expired last week. Yet there's a spring storm that brought more snow to the Northeast on Wednesday and Thursday last. Corporal Scott Martin tells WBRE-TV he created the poster and placed it on the wanted wall because he is sick of snow in the spring. Aren't we all? Poster claims Phil is wanted for deception. Phil is described as having brown and gray hair, brown eyes, sharp teeth. Records dating to 1887 show Phil has predicted more winter 103 times while forecasting an early spring just 18 times. So I thought that was a humorous story to share with you.
I was reading earlier that one of the NASCAR races delayed or something because of snow.
They got a band of precipitation coming through. It's a little colder these days than it usually is.
Speaking of groundhogs, when I was leaving here last week, I was headed down southbound, and this right over by Orleans, that whatever that road is, it comes out onto southbound Gratiot.
Yeah.
I just gave away our location. Anyway, this animal comes running across the street.
Was it Hazard?
No.
Oh, okay.
About the same color fur.
Hey, come back here.
But it was a, I don't know what it was. It was like, it was the shape of a squirrel, but much bigger. It definitely wasn't a cat.
Was it white?
No, it was the same color as Hazard's hair.
Really? Gray?
Like a brownish gray color, yeah.
Okay.
About the same color as a red squirrel or a, like raccoon color, kind of. But it wasn't a raccoon.
Fox?
It wasn't a cat. Wasn't a fox. I know a fox.
Not a possum.
Foxes are red. Wasn't a possum.
Huh.
And I'm wondering, could it have been like a, you got any, what are the kind of critters you got over here?
Are
there groundhogs or woodchucks or anything?
Skunk, possum.
Wasn't a skunk.
Squirrel.
Nope.
Peregrine falcon.
No.
Critters. What critters we have over here.
How's your critter thing going, Hazard?
caught another...
Not a little mousy?
A non-invited party, you know.
Yeah.
Caught one on Friday.
Hey, you going to make the cake for what's-his-face? You still got the cake?
Yeah, yeah. We can do one for...
For the jitterbug guy?
Johnny Cop? Yeah, we can do that. Yeah,
good.
Yeah, I saw Johnny yesterday.
Yeah, I noticed, and I was reading the bulletin from your big performance today that Ron had sitting on the table upstairs. And I noticed... Mr. Prawl had something to do with the service today.
That was Daddy Prawl.
Okay. And then I noticed a cop name. Is that the same as John Cop or is that a different family?
It is a relation.
Okay.
That's good.
Yes.
See how observant I am?
Yes, you are. Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network, heard on great stations like WBFH Bloomfield Hills and WAHS Auburn Hills. Ron, Chuck, and Hazard having a wonderful time here on a Sunday evening between 9 and 11. The podcast of this year's broadcast will be uploaded after the broadcast tonight. MotorCityStatic.com, MotorCityStatic.com. I think we have time to slip in a song.
All right. I neglected to mention when I was doing the This Day in Music segment earlier that on this day in 1990, Motley Crue's Tommy Lee was arrested for mooning at the audience during a gig in Augusta. Tommy was charged with indecent exposure.
Wow.
Here's some Motley Crue on Motor City Static.
Motley Crue, Decade of Decadence, the song Wild Side. That was their best of compilation, was it not?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
On Motor City Static, Ron, Chuck, and Hazard here, halfway point of the broadcast on WBFH and WAHS. Still trying to negotiate a few other stations. We're going to see how that works out.
We're going to be nationwide pretty soon, aren't we?
Yeah, you know, I just want to...
Be like a ZZ Top song.
I want to supplant Free Beer and Hot Wings or Bob and Tom or...
Whoever.
Whoever wants us, I'm willing to go.
All right.
Anywhere.
They wouldn't have, we got our secret weapon here, you know.
Hazard,
yeah.
Did you get any photos?
There's
of the,
nobody who could act this.
Is it an act?
This is the real deal.
I know.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's and getting back to the Zion Church of Christ today. I was in the social hall afterwards, having my hot dog and beans.
Oh, beans too?
Yeah, and
like pork and beans,
bacon and beans,
bacon and beans,
bacon and beans, and some of Jeff's congregants were remarking, "Yeah, that Hazard, he's one of a kind. We love him."
Did anybody call him Big Daddy?
No,
no,
but they really do like him.
Mm, they do.
He's a good
guy. He's a likable guy.
Yeah. I think
some, despite his sometimes gruff,
well, exterior. I think, and
kicking
I was
homeless guys out on the street.
I was Jewish. Hey, it's compassion. Actually, it's compassion. I was thinking, you know, Hazard. I think you missed your calling. You should have been in the clergy, or at least a deacon, or something like that.
I've been thinking about it.
I think you should be a deacon because you've got the street smarts and the demeanor to actually connect one-on-one with the people. So I think you should do that, you know? And then that way, in retirement, you could minister.
And then we could make a movie called The Deacon Had a Mullet.
I love it. Well, the New Hampshire Lottery Commission has replaced its phrase, luck yeah, that ad campaign with Wind Time over concerns that the original phrase sounded like profanity.
Well, now that's funny.
Yeah. WMUR-TV out of New Hampshire reports at least one state official, Republican Executive Counselor Russell Prescott, criticized the phrase last month after it started showing up online and in television commercials. But Lottery Executive Director Charlie McIntyre defended the ads. He had said the word luck is an inherent part of the business. He apologized if it was insensitive, but he added, certainly it is effective. McIntyre had said Prescott's complaint was the first he had heard, but noted that the ad was designed to make viewers pay attention. I didn't actually see the ad, but apparently they scream, luck yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. It's like saying Fuddruckers.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with it.
No.
But there's a lot of people that are sensitive, overly so, and they're seeing things where it doesn't really exist.
Right.
And I think that's a sad commentary on our society. I thought we would be sophisticated at this point where words didn't really have as much leverage as they apparently do.
Pretty soon they'll be offended by gosh darn it.
Yeah, they will. And we don't want to, you know, we don't want to be profane, but at the same time, why are you making all this fuss over nothing?
Well, if we're profane, we can get on XM.
Jeez, I don't want to be profane at all.
Well, me and Hazard can handle all that for you.
You know, have you ever been... Wait, you were going to say something?
I was, and I better say it before, because I'll forget. Are you ever proud of yourself for using your verbal filter?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd had that moment happen today, as a matter of fact.
Welcome to Metro Detroit's beloved quiz program that not only helps to build your vocabulary, but puts our beloved Uncle Ron in his place. It's time for Big Words with Ron on the Biff Radio Network. As you know, Uncle Ron tends to espouse his opinions with big $5 words that often leave Chuck and Hazard addled, befuddled, and perplexed. This time, the table is turned to see how Uncle Ron reacts. Can he bluff, guess, or reckon his way to the words we throw at him? You decide on Big Words with Ron. Now from luxurious yet not overly ostentatious MCS Studio near the Grand Trunk Western, Here's your host, Chuck Rubenberg. Oh, yeah. There you go.
Thanks, Uncle Ron.
You're welcome.
By the way, you gave me my newest, most, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
My new favorite thing.
And that is?
An Arthur Penhallow bobblehead.
You love that? That's with love.
Baby!
With love.
Yeah, he's wearing sandals, shorts.
Maui time.
He's got a Riff shirt on, mm-hmm. some sunglasses. It says Big Daddy on the bottom of the stand.
Mm-hmm.
And you turn it around, and he's wearing a shirt over his t-shirt that says Riff Rocks on the back.
Yeah.
This is, I think, from about the era that I was there, too.
Could be.
The short hair Arthur Penhallow
era. Could be. Could be.
Yeah. So thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, enough stalling. I think you're going to do pretty good, Ron.
I hope so. Now the...
I think you're paying off my producer here.
No, I am not. Now, the purpose of this is not to embarrass me in any way, shape, or form. It's just that I do have a tendency to use those big $5 college words, because if I don't, no one else will.
Well, plus we're fulfilling an educational requirement.
So words mean things. Words are wonderful. If you've got the proper word, you can get to the point, cut
words
to the quick.
Are the color that we use
mm-hmm.
to paint in the canvas of our life.
Wow, that's deep.
That needs to go into Bartlett's quotations.
And not only that, there are also what we do to try and educate the people that are listening so maybe they can use some new words in their life. So since most of these words are so easy this week.
Oh, they're easy?
Yeah, easy
peasy.
I thought
they were hard.
No, I said they're easy.
Oh, boy. But, you know, even the easiest words
trip me up. Wait, I see him 1 for 2. Wait, let's see.
He's going to know that one. People he may not know that
one.
He
don't know that one.
Taking wagers over
And I know
this.
He doesn't know this one.
I know. That's why we're going to start with that one.
No.
Because I went through the words and I picked the most difficult one, or what I think is the most difficult one.
All right.
First. Okay?
Okay. Ready.
So your first word, Ron, its earliest documented use was in 1590. It is from the old French.
French.
Also from the Latin.
Latin. Which is from where French came.
Yes. It's where all languages came from, really. As far as I know.
Bluff. Go with it.
You've got two chances.
Oh, boy.
At the definition.
Okay.
As noun. And your first word, Ron, is trencher man.
Trencher man?
Trencher man.
How do you spell that?
T-R-E-N-C-H-E-R-M-A-N. Trencher man.
It's some sort of Marvel comic character, isn't it?
No. Trencher man. No.
He comes in and he puts your cable underground. He works the trencher.
Oh, I get it. Yeah.
I'm trencher man.
He digs the hole for your rat
cable.
Wall.
Yeah.
No.
But that has nothing to do with it at all.
Nothing at all.
Trencher, you would think, is someone who digs a hole,
mm-hmm.
and man is the opposite of woman.
Right.
So it's a trencher man, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a noun.
Mm-hmm. Two chances.
And it has nothing to do with digging.
Nothing at all.
Nothing.
Mm-mm.
Trencher.
And the two meanings are completely different, too.
Wow. I'm going to need a sentence for this one there, Mr. Riffenberg.
I'm trying to come up with my own because the one that came with the words
go,
a little
please
easy.
Go with the one. Please go with the one that you came with.
The detective, wait a minute, let me start that over. Okay. The detective constable was attacking his food like a trencher man.
Well, it has something to do with digging then.
No.
If you're feeding, you're stabbing it with a... Like a would it be someone who's very hungry?
No, not at all.
Not at all. Like a trencher man.
No.
He's attacking his food.
Don't look at me like that. That is not what that says.
Uh-oh.
On the paper.
You got it. What
you got? You gave him enough easy words, Hazard. Let me have fun with this one. Ruth would say no.
All right. So he had this. this what are you coughing there for?
Because it was a peanut.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is a trencher man, and it has to do with the, it's an officer, constable, what'd you say?
The detective constable.
So does it have to do with law enforcement?
No.
Not at all?
Well, no.
So it has no bearing. So basically you got a man who's eating his food like a trencher man.
Mm-hmm. You're a trencher man. I'm a trencher man. Hazard's a trencher man.
Like a man's man, meat and potatoes? Hazard's,
yeah, kind of like a man's man, yeah. Trencher man.
Is that am I getting close to it?
No.
No? A trencher man.
Don't look at me like
He's
that.
He's starting to wander into the building. Come on.
Well, you're the one who wants to go take him by the hand and lead him to it.
And this is a one-word answer?
No.
No, two answers?
There's two answers. Both are nouns.
And he's eating
actually
like
three, technically.
So it's meat and potatoes, man's man, no nonsense.
Mm-mm.
Not at all.
No.
I'm nowhere near it, huh?
Nope.
Well, guess what?
You're giving in.
I got to
throw in the towel.
I got unless you give me another sentence.
I gave you two. I gave you. You're a trencher man. I'm a trencher man. Hazard's a trencher man. That's sentence number two. Sentence number one, if you want to hear it again, is the detective constable was attacking his food like a trencher man.
Well, then,
and those are both using the same definition. Both sentences, by the way.
Say, I can't get any context out of a simple declarative sentence like that, so I don't know. I'm going to have to acquiesce and say,
throw in the towel.
Acquiesce.
It's one of my favorite words.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Definition number one is a hearty eater.
Well, wait a minute. Okay.
You never ever said.
Did I not say you were in the building?
Meat and potatoes is a hearty meal. You could
have. You didn't say a hearty eater, though. And number two is a hanger-on parasite. So let's start right off with O for one.
Yeah, you're just revealing.
Maybe
yeah.
We'll just save this really easy one for later on.
Well, just remember, I hold grudges.
Sorry.
You were built for failure there.
Yeah, which is right. Green Day album. No.
No.
No, that's...
What's the Eyes on Damascus?
Yeah, Eyes on Damascus. Yeah. I'm sorry. I knew it was an album. I just couldn't place it. Sorry.
All right, here we go.
Man.
Your next word, Ron, is an adjective.
All right.
It's from the Latin.
Mm-hmm.
Its earliest documented use was 1843.
Mm-hmm.
You thought he wouldn't get this one, right, Hazard?
Mm-hmm.
You said no, he wouldn't get this one?
Correct.
Stridulant.
Stridulant?
Stridulant.
S-T-R-I-G-I?
Nope, D-U.
Wait a minute.
S-T-R-I-D-U-L-A-N-T. Stridulant.
Stridulant. S-T-R-I-D-G-U.
No G. No G.
Strid. Wait. Start over.
S-T-R-I-D-U-L-A-N-T. Stridulant.
Stridulant. Oh. Stride. Has to do something with purpose.
It's an adjective.
If you have a purposeful walk, you're stridulant.
No.
Nothing at all?
No.
No, even Hazard knowed that.
Stridulant.
Whoa.
Stridulant. Stridulant. I've never seen that word before. How about a sentence?
Was anyone stridulant in church this morning, Hazard?
I don't think so. No.
Okay. They're ugly. Come and see just how ugly they are. She repeats several times, her voice stridulant and too loud.
Well.
Hazard, your picture's here.
Are you kidding me?
On the script from Word Today.
Wow. Stridulant.
Well, you were working ahead of time.
Well,
you're
hang on.
These out on the 21st.
Hang on here.
Hang on here.
Repeat that sentence.
Yes.
They're ugly. Come and see just how ugly they are, she repeats several times, her voice stridulant and too loud.
Well, I said purposeful.
Yeah, but you were wrong.
Well, if you're, because you want people to hear what you have to say, and you're, how do I describe this? I'm falling back on purposeful.
No, and you're falling. No one's going to catch you either.
Is it within earshot or something? Or
no.
Loud?
I just let you hit the floor, that's all.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right. I don't know that one either.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, I thought you were going to get that one.
I told you.
It is shrill, making a harsh grating sound.
Oh, you mean like Hazard's voice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, now. All right, now you're 0 for 2. Now
it's 0 for 2.
Yeah, there we go.
Now it's time for you to even up the batting average.
Yeah, well.
This word, Ron.
I don't know if I'll get that either.
You don't think so? Its first documented use.
Oh, yeah, he ain't getting that.
Its earliest documented use was in 1833.
Okay. That was 100 years before my dad was born.
Wow. So it's an old word. You got two chances at the definition. One of them is a noun. One of them as an adjective.
All right.
And it is from the French.
Okay.
And from the Latin. And your word is mundane.
Mundane.
No, mundane.
M-O-N-D-A-I-N.
Mundane.
Mundane.
As opposed to mundane, which was I thought it was early on, which when I was going to get.
And he says, I know this word.
Who?
You did.
No, it's a. I'm doubling down. You're not getting it.
I'm not getting that word.
Hazard's got no confidence in you on this one.
Well, thanks. How about a sentence?
Let's see. It's reassuring, however, to see even the seasoned mundane go weak at the knees when he meets Catherine Deneuve while being arm in arm with Julia Roberts. Almost causes him a nosebleed.
Repeat that sentence again. I'm trying to picture this. You got Julia Roberts on your arm. You bump into Catherine Deneuve, who, by the way, was and is a very attractive woman.
I have no idea who she is.
Oh, she's French the face actress. Of France.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look her up.
The most beautiful woman in France.
After I'm done with this.
But I always was a Brigitte Bardot kind of guy.
Were you?
Yeah. Why don't you think? She was a little sex kitten.
Brigitte Bardot. You know who? Sophia Loren.
Oh, my gosh.
Sophia Loren will still blow the doors off anybody nowadays.
That's a lot of woman.
Are we ready for the sentence again?
Yes, please.
Are you guys done ogling?
Yeah, okay.
Foreign actresses. It's reassuring, however, to see even the seasoned mundane go weak at the knees when he meets Catherine Deneuve while being arm in arm with Julia Roberts. Almost causes him a nosebleed.
How about Playboy?
No.
No?
Nope. All right, I'll tell you this right now.
Yeah?
I do not consider myself to be mundane.
That's a lot of help.
Hazard.
Oh, yeah.
Is a little bit more mundane than I.
Like a ladies'
and
man?
And you
yeah.
are pretty mundane, I would say.
A ladies' man?
I'm no. mundane.
I am not.
I'm mundane in my own way.
Well, you
see, I got my Sunday best on right now, okay? Yeah. Hazard, you know, he's decked out today.
Yeah.
And you're always looking pretty spiffy. You're very Alex Keaton-ish in the dress department.
Alex Keaton-ish, ooh.
So that means mundane, right?
You are mundane, yes.
A snappy dresser then? Or
no.
Well coiffed?
No.
Well presented?
No.
Oh, God. I'm just.
Your new glasses, even with the scratch in the lens,
yeah,
make you mundane.
Stylish?
No.
No. Old school? Retro?
No.
I've got nothing.
No, you're throwing in the towel again?
Yeah.
As it looks like you're winning the money. As a noun, it means a sophisticated man.
I thought he came in the building.
A man, he didn't came in the building, but he didn't get into the seats.
Yeah.
A sophisticated man. A man belonging to a fashionable society.
Okay.
As an adjective, it means worldly and fashionable.
Well, I'm not a mundane.
Here's the word that's going to make you feel good about yourself.
It's not going to work.
One for you'll be one
for
4.
I'm 0 for 3 right now.
Yes, you are. Okay, I'm not going to fire the producer. This word, Ron, its earliest documented use was in... Well, where is that part of the script here, Hazard? 1916. It is from the Latin.
Mm-hmm.
You've got one chance at the definition, and I am putting all my money.
Yeah, well...
Well, maybe not.
No.
Giving this definition.
Yeah.
As an adjective. And your word, Ron, is ambivalent. Now remember, we're looking for the definition on the paper.
Oh, the paper?
Yeah.
So we're looking for the British definition of ambivalent.
I'm pretty ambivalent about my performance today.
Yeah, you are.
It's not been a remarkable performance. So I've got to guess that one word, right?
Ambivalent, yes.
I mean,
I've used this word wrong on several occasions.
You have?
I'll use it for like, you know, I'm ambivalent about it. But I guess that, and well, meaning I don't care one way or the other when I use
it. Well, that's what ambivalent means.
Not according to this.
Really? Mm-mm. That's your, I can't figure out what that word would be. I'm guessing at a word here.
Well, you were using the right examples for the definition.
I'm pretty unattached.
That's a whole different story.
Yeah. So I'm unattached to the definition. I should probably get ambivalent.
Some music ready. Oh, I got it.
Ambivalent?
I'm ambivalent.
I'm not enthused. Unenthused.
No.
Disinterested.
No.
See, I'm just guessing at the definition here.
That's right. I lost the definition on the page. Oh, there it is.
Definition. Ambivalent.
You were on the right track.
Well, I know that.
When you first started out.
And I know the word. And ambivalent is a word that's used all the time. But I just can't guess what that word is on the paper. Because you
are... You going to go 0 for 4?
Yeah, you're a cruel taskmaster.
I just want you to use words correctly.
Yeah.
And I want people that listen to the show come up to you and use these words at you.
Yeah. So I know what
ambivalent
is.
So they might come up and say, Ron, I was ambivalent about the show last night.
Unimpressed.
You know what?
Uncommitted.
I mean, I'm feeling pretty, I'm going to give it to you.
Oh, geez.
Reluctantly.
Oh, God.
If I could mute the bell.
Mute it.
Ruth would probably say,
don't give it to
him.
Put your finger on the bell,
mm-hmm.
and then mute it. Hold one, put your finger on the bell. Now, there you go. Okay.
Our definition
yeah.
is having contradictory thoughts about something or someone.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, well, we got it now. I don't need to.
And that's it?
I'm ambivalent about.
That's it?
Yeah. 8 years of drum lessons.
I know.
Coming up right now.
And that's how we play Big Words with Ron. All right, word number one, trencher man. A hearty eater, a hanger-on, or a parasite. Kind of like Hazard, right?
Hey, don't go there. He got you a free hot dog today.
Yeah, he did. Stridulant means to be shrill or harsh. Mundane means sophisticated. Then ambivalent means contradictory thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. I should have known those words, though.
You should have.
Oh, my gosh.
When I first saw them, I thought you were going to hit them all out.
Yeah, well. Jim Morris Jr. The name of the song is called Splitsville. What's his album? I forgot.
Oh, he's got a bunch of them.
Forget which album.
Look him up.
Yeah.
Jim Morris, Guitar Detroit. Yeah. We should probably get you there.
There you go. Okay, so that's it. Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. Man, I am embarrassed.
It's all right. 0 for 4. No, 1 for 4.
1 for 4, yeah. This is Motor City Static, the best radio broadcast you'll hear all week. MotorCityStatic.com, MotorCityStatic.com. Tell your friends about us, will you?
Yeah, now the students at the school station, they listen to the show, right?
All the time.
So a good way for them to use the word ambivalent would be when you tell them to do something, they could say, oh, Ron, I'm ambivalent about that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right, music time.
Sure. I was talking to one of my coworkers the other day about the show, actually.
Really?
And he said, do you play music? And I said, well, yes, we do. It's my thing. That's what I do. That's what I'm in charge of. And he said, do you ever play any Neil Young?
Ooh.
I said, well, not recently, but if you're listening, I'm going to play some Neil Young. He said, I'll tune in if you play Neil Young.
There you go.
So this one's for Tony. It's called Mr. Soul. It's from Unplugged. It's just called Unplugged. Neil Young on Motor City Static.
Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. Before the break, we had Neil Young, Mr. Soul. Seems like his guitar was a little out of tune. Was it just me?
It was just you.
Okay.
Sounded good to me. I think he tuned it down.
It seemed like it was
making it a little deeper.
Half step.
Yeah,
or something.
Probably might have been playing what they call a drop D or something.
Could be. Yeah, we'll play a drop D. Drop D. All right, Motor City Static. My performance in Big Words was just embarrassing.
You were ambivalent about your performance.
Yeah, it was not my best. Not my best.
And that's the way we like it, because that's how people learn.
I got my hair cut yesterday.
You did?
Yeah, I got my hair cut, and the appointment was at 3:30, and I had a previous appointment at 1, so I had, I went to a frozen yogurt place.
For a haircut?
No, to waste some time until I got
my
hair cut.
You didn't throw yogurt at anybody, did you?
No. Sorry. I was with Tammy Brown, and we were just talking about a few things, and I had to run. And then I went to the mall. I went to Lakeside Mall.
Man, you were a man about town.
Yeah, it's been a busy weekend. But the point that I wanted to make was, man, that mall is empty. Lakeside Mall, which is rumored to be shutting down.
Really?
And converted into mixed-use office residential.
Wow.
Malls are not going to be around much anymore, I don't think.
I better get to Sears and use this gift card.
Well, Sears itself is teetering on the edge.
Yeah. I keep meaning to go, and then I made it there one time, and then the retail anxiety set in, and yeah. I got the heck out of Dodge, which I couldn't remember the other term that we came up with.
What?
We're in Safe Harbor, right?
Yeah.
Socially celibate was the other term we came up with. So if there's any people out there working on their master's or PhD in psychology, those are two you can use for your thesis. Retail anxiety.
Yeah.
The fear of being in retail establishments that are brightly lit and crammed with stuff. Mm. It's not all retail establishments that I mean, I can go into a fish store.
Yeah.
You get retail anxiety?
Yeah. I can't go into a mall hazard. Are you kidding me? It's too many people, big open spaces, bright lights, too many choices.
Yeah.
I want to go in, get out.
So I went in there just to see what the place was like, and a certain wistfulness overtook me. And I remember being in high school. We would go to the mall. They had the movies at Lakeside, and they had all kinds of neat things in there. They had an ice rink at one time.
Say what?
Yeah, they had an ice rink at Lakeside Mall. That was a big deal.
Huh.
And just walking through there, and, I had a girlfriend at the time, worked at Lord & Taylor, and I used to go there a lot and hang out and haver for her. And it's a part of my life that's gone. And it's sad, you know? You walk through it, and when we were teenagers, we got our license, and you'd go up to the mall, and you'd hang out. And now it's cheap.
Right.
Jeez. How about the decline of that other?
Toys R Us?
Yeah.
Everything's going away.
Yeah. I went to a retail store before I came here. It was kind of funny. That's where I used my filter. I can't remember what I didn't say.
Oh, geez.
It was funny, though. At least I thought it would have been funny. But I thought, Chuck, don't let that come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
But I was there because I needed some potting soil.
Right.
Because, I do the houseplant thing.
Yeah.
And the terrariums and whatnot. And I did a lot of rooting, and I got some stuff that needs to be put in dirt now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't like Miracle-Gro with the fertilizers in there and everything.
Okay, because I get a ton of it. I can give you some.
No, I don't want it.
All right.
Now I get a release, time release, blah, 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 blah. I'm concerned that if I put it in my terrarium and then I put some animals in there, it might affect them adversely. So I want to use organic soil.
Well, good for you.
In there. And hence, when I pot these plants that I've been rooting and give them to someone, I want to be able to tell them or sell them or whatever I do with them that I want them to be able to use them with their animals and tell them it's in organic soil.
Right.
I mean, if they want to put it in fertilize the bejesus out of it with something other than fish poop. Okay. God bless them, but that's what I use. Is, you know, I clean the fish tanks and use that water to water my plants. Okay. I also always let my water set out for 24 hours before I use it on the plants and or for the dogs or for the geckos or whatever. Not the fish. That's just too much. Anyway, where was I going with this?
I don't know.
Oh, so I had a bag of Miracle-Gro because that was all I could find. And I went up to the lady and I said, do you have a bag of organic soil, similar size, similar price to this? So she leads me over to the soil, which they had moved completely onto the other side of the store from when I was there, which is why I couldn't find it.
Okay.
And, you know, I kind of look like a hippie. Maybe a little bit.
Not really, but go ahead.
All right. And she pointed it to me, and then she gave me this look.
Oh, like you were growing some
thing other than coleus plants.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
wink,
scandalous.
Wink, nudge, nudge.
Right. So
shame on her.
And then the same woman came up and opened another register while I was standing in line. Said, I'll take the next person in line over here, which just so happened to be me. And the whole exchange felt like she was uncomfortable with it for some reason.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, I showered. I used deodorant. I brushed my teeth.
Yeah.
What's going on? And like when I gave her the cash, mm-hmm. which might have been, I mean, a lot of people don't use cash anymore.
Yeah.
And she said, do you want cash back? And I was like, well, I gave you cash.
What are you?
I didn't say, what are you talking about, lady? I said, I gave you cash. And she said, oh, I meant, do you want change back or are you going to give me the change? Like, you know, it came to be $6.35 and I handed her a 10.
Okay.
And she thought I was going to give her the 35 cents.
All right.
It's where she was coming from. I'm like, lady, if you don't give me coins, I won't be able to save any money. So just give me the coins.
All right.
But yeah, that was, see, this is why. Because I just can't go in someplace, find what I want, buy it, and get out of there. I got to ask somebody, then I got to have the weird exchange. Ugh.
So I'm walking around Lakeside Mall, mm-hmm. as I mentioned, a little sad, a little wistful. A Sears store is empty. Mace
go by
is
that
still
big
there.
Piece of that big waffle, that inflatable waffle or whatever.
No, that's all gone. All of that stuff is gone. And I guess I'm mourning my youth because the mall used to be a big part of it.
Yeah.
You know? And
it was new when you were young.
Well, it opened in 74 and we thought, you know, who's putting a mall in the middle of these cornfields? Because it was Hall Road and Hayes and Shaner. It's like for years, even 10 years, they didn't put any outstores or out parcels. I mean, when they opened the McDonald's there, that's where I asked. You guys remember the girl that I was with in college, right?
Yes.
That McDonald's out there is where I gained the courage to ask her out because I walked in there and I saw her and her girlfriend at one of the tables. And I walked up to her and I said,
hey, what up?
Seriously, I did.
How are you doing?
I says, I would like to go out with you. And she was just taken aback and we had a nice little romance there.
Yeah.
So, you know, stuff like that.
I remember when the mall was new because my sister and brother-in-law used to live out that way.
Yeah.
And when it first opened, my parents and I went over there for dinner one Sunday or Saturday or something.
Yeah.
And after dinner, we went over to see the new mall. And I remember the big deal was the indoor ice rink. Remember?
Yeah, I told you.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Mm-hmm.
So, what up with that?
So apparently, that was a Taubman thing. Al Taubman built that, and he was from Pontiac, Bloomfield Hills guy.
Well, they just spent all that money on Partridge Creek, too, the outdoor mall with heated sidewalks. How's that one doing?
Yeah, I guess it's doing okay. But I thought this was odd, and I point this out. They had Small Town America, and they built the malls, and Small Town America went away, and you have a lot of abandoned main streets, storefronts. So then when these malls go and use their end of life or obtain their end of life, then they're building things like Partridge Creek, which is Main Street America.
Right.
They're replicating it. Why don't we just go and build Main Street America again?
Because when I go shopping, I don't want inclement weather to be raining on me and snowing on me.
Well, it's
I want
well,
to be
Partridge Creek.
What do you call it? Right. Yeah. I don't, I mean, you know, it's okay, But I'd rather have air conditioning in the summertime, heat in the winter,
yeah,
and a covering over my head to keep the elements away from me.
Okay. Well, the Guinness World Records confirmed a $14,168 shot of cognac served at a London bar as the most expensive in the world. Rangita Dutt McGrory, Rangita McGrory, was that Scottish? He's the founder and director of Trinity Natural Gas, ordered a 1.4-ounce serving of Rome de Bellegarde from a bottle that was discovered in Cognac House Jean Filrose cellar in 2004 and is believed to have been from the very first blend created by the distiller in 1894. That makes no sense. Sorry, no. I stumbled over that.
That's what Hazard drinks when we go out.
Cognac? Anyway, yeah, McGrory, got a shot of this, paid $14,168.
For a shot?
For a shot. It was served at London bar Hyde Kensington, and that was confirmed the most expensive shot of cognac ever sold. The bar shared photos of the receipt and the presentation of its Guinness certificate on Facebook.
I hope he tipped her more than a buck.
Yeah.
Well, in England, they don't tip, though.
No, they don't, right?
No.
They don't. Whoa, let's go. Tell me, Ryan.
Live and direct from the Rumpus Room at La Casa de Hazard, it's time to gather around the radio and play another installment of Metro Detroit's favorite radio contest, Hazard a Guess. Yes, kiddies, Uncle Ron has officially depleted the topic bin tonight, and yet we still have a half hour of expensive and valuable broadcast airtime left. Strike that, make that 19 minutes. So we present a surefire network time killer, one that pits the incredible knowledge of our very own handsome, suave, slick, and debonair lady killer, Mr. Jeffrey Lee Hazard, the Earl of Spiffy, Exchequer of Bling, Johnny Jump Up, and JC himself, against the brain power of our bright, attractive, erudite, and deeply learned Chuck Riffenberg.
You know, Hazard, you should put that on your dating profile.
Play JC?
Has been known to play the role
of JC.
Of JC. Then they'll think you're an actor.
Gather around the radio, my friends. If you're not too careful, you might learn something. Big Daddy.
Yos.
JC. Are you ready?
That man, the Astropolis one, is ready.
To hazard a guess. You are?
Bring it on.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a little nervous.
Ah, don't be. We're all friends.
As long as questions are about bunnies and chickens, I'll do okay.
You, both of you humiliated me with big words with Ron, so...
This is your payback.
What you talking about?
This is my payback.
What you talking about, Willis?
Okay, question number one. Look me in the eye, the good eye, not the lens that's scratched. All right, Hazard, here we go. Question number one. Three questions. This is a moderate to easy. Certain holidays go hand in hand with certain foods.
Mm.
Like turkey on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Ham on Easter is another one.
Mm-hmm.
But is there any real reason why we tend to eat ham on Easter aside from tradition? Certain holidays go hand in hand with certain foods, like turkey on Thanksgiving, for example. Ham on Easter is another one. But is there any real reason why we tend to eat ham on Easter aside from tradition?
Huh. Let's see.
You don't get this one, Hazard, I'm going to be very disappointed in you.
Certain holidays have certain foods. Turkey. Ham on Easter. Is there any real reason why we tend to eat ham on Easter aside from tradition? Is there any biblical reason? Any other reason?
Ham on Easter,
I think he gave you a clue there.
Is there... any real reason? This could be a simple yes or no.
Oh, it is? Just a simple yes or no?
Simple yes or no. Is there any real reason why we tend to eat ham on Easter aside from tradition?
Well, turkeys aren't available.
Okay.
That's why we eat ham.
That's what's going to be my answer.
Yeah.
Okay, so what you're saying is because ham is readily available?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no turkeys around yet because okay. You cleaned them out for Thanksgiving.
Okay. Chuck, what say you?
That was going to be my answer as well.
Okay. The reason ham is traditionally eaten at Easter is because it's actually in season. Historically, pigs were usually slaughtered in the fall.
That's correct.
When it's chilly outside and the cold could keep the meat fresh during the several days it would take to break down and prepare the hog. It's also widely believed that pigs slaughtered after the first frost taste better because they've been grazing on acorns and insect-free grass. The hams would be cured over the winter and be ready to eat by the time spring rolled around. Another reason for ham's inclusion in Easter feast is size. A single ham is usually enough to feed a large group of people, so it's ideal for a big family dinner such as Easter. Okay.
And it's inexpensive.
Yeah.
Or used to be, anyway.
A couple of other fun facts here. Lamb is also popular during Easter.
Mm.
For a similar reason, sheep tend to be born in the early days of spring, making them ideal for slaughter and consumption right around Easter time. And we also eat turkeys on Thanksgiving due to seasonal factors. Their hormone levels change as their bodies prepare for the winter, so they're fatter. Okay? How about that?
What do you know?
There you go. All right. Officially, both of you have
one point.
1 point. Okay. Question number two. Hazard, what do pretzels have to do with the Lenten season?
Pretzels with who?
The Lenten season. Pretzels and Lent go together. Why?
I've never heard this before.
Never?
You know, I've been eating a lot of pretzels during Lent this year.
Yeah.
It was just a craving more than anything.
What do pretzels have to do with the Lenten season? And I overheard you and Pastor Scott talking about this.
Ooh. Got one up on me then, Hazard.
Yeah,
he was mentioning the Germans, but I'll give you a hint, it's the Italians this time.
Well, it turns out that what happened is at the Last Supper, I don't know if you know it, but what happened was Jesus was sitting there getting a Harvey Wallbanger.
Oh, God, no.
He had ordered a Harvey Wallbanger, and the bartender had put out a bowl of pretzels. And,
don't blaspheme, please. Oh. Please, don't blaspheme.
They were watching some Michigan basketball. No, what happened was...
Hazard's version of the Bible, Jesus drinks Harvey Wallbangers.
Jeez. That's not good, not good, not good.
First letter, Jeffy to the Riffenbergs.
First text
watch
message.
The Harvey Wallbangers. Germans with the pretzel. Who, what?
What do pretzels have to do with the Lenten season?
Well, pretzels were made by the monastery.
Okay. So why? What were the monastery, the monks, what were they doing with the pretzel?
Well, they were making it, it's an thing of like, supposed to be like hands crossed for prayer.
For prayer, hands crossed for prayer.
Yeah.
Chuck, what say you? What are you laughing for?
Well, because of the filter almost didn't work there. You said, your question was, what were the monks, was it?
Yeah.
Doing with the pretzels.
Yeah.
Well everybody knows they're making pretzel jello. Hey, if Jesus can have a Harvey Wallbanger, the monks can make pretzel jello. Right, Hazard?
Oh, my.
I'm going with Hazard in the whole
You're arms go with cross Hazard? Thing.
That sounds good, yeah.
Okay. According to pretzel maker Snyders of Hanover, a young monk in the early 600s in Italy was preparing a special Lenten bread of water, flour, and salt to remind his brother monks that Lent was a time of prayer. He rolled the bread dough in strips and then shaped each strip in the form of crossed arms, mimicking the then popular prayer position of folding one's arms over each other on the chest. So if you're you're crossing your arms on your chest, okay, like you're folding your arms, but you would put your hands on each shoulder blade.
So wait, you used to fold your arms and not your hands?
Yeah. When you would pray, you would put your arms on your shoulders.
Kind of like bringing God close to your heart or something.
Yeah, and if you remember... they used to bury people that way.
Yeah.
Instead of clasping the hands.
I want to be buried like this.
Yeah, right, sure. Okay. The bread was then baked as a soft bread, just like the big soft pretzels one can find today. Because these breads were shaped in the form of crossed arms, they were called bracelet, the Latin word for little arms. From this word, the Germans derived the word bretzel, which has since mutated to the familiar word pretzel. Okay.
Problem is they didn't have the cheese dipping sauce.
No, they didn't have the mustard. They didn't have it. Okay, read back the score. What are we doing here?
2-2.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are doing so much better than I did with Big Words with Ron. All right. Final question here. Let's make it a clean sweep here.
Okay.
Clean sweep. Here we go. Lucy Hayes, the wife of President Rutherford B. Hayes, did this in 1878 to celebrate Easter. What did she do?
Hazard, if you don't know this one.
Lucy Hayes, who historians point to as being the official modern first lady back in 1878.
I like her. I don't even know what she...
She was into suffrage, the suffragette movement before it became popular. And,
like a Suffragette City, David Bowie.
Yep, and she did a lot of entertaining. But she did this in 1878 to celebrate Easter.
I got it. I got it.
What did she do? Lucy Hayes. By the way, Rutherford was so in love with her.
Yeah. Love is a beautiful thing.
Isn't it? When people can be in love like that.
I love Strummer.
There you go. Lucy Hayes.
Uh-huh.
Did this in 1878 to celebrate Easter. What did she do?
She went down to the Walgreens and picked up some chocolate bunnies and put it in the kids' baskets.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
She can't even say that with a straight face.
I know.
I am going to say that she... blah, 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 blah.
It's a tradition.
I know.
The egg roll, egg hunt thing on the
egg roll,
egg hunt or whatever it is on the in the front lawn, the White House lawn.
Okay,
he is stealing my thunder today. Right. Yeah, I'm going with that too.
All right, guess what?
What?
You're right. There you go. She established the White House Easter egg roll. Now, the egg roll is a race where children push an egg through the grass with a long-handled spoon. Surrounding events include appearances by White House personalities in Easter Bunny costumes, speeches and book reading by cabinet secretaries, and exhibits of artistically decorated eggs.
Oh, boy, I can't wait to see the Trump administration dressed up in bunny suits.
Now, according to tradition, Dolly Madison, the wife of President James Madison, began the event in 1814, and hundreds of children brought their decorated eggs to join in the games. Now, here's the deal. The original site was the grounds of the United States Capitol. But in 1877, a new lawn was planted there, and the gardeners canceled the event. Congress then passed a law making it illegal to use the Capitol grounds as a children's playground. So, in 1878, a group of bold children walked up to the White House gate, hoping to be allowed to play egg rolling games there. President Hayes, at the urging of his wife Lucy, told his guards to let the children enter, and soon Easter Monday on the White House grounds became an annual tradition. President Benjamin Harrison added music to the festivities in 1889 with the United States Marine Band.
Wow.
And it's tickets are distributed by lottery. You register, and they have so many kids that they let in.
Wow,
and it's
interesting.
It's, you know, it's one of those things. And there you go. 3 for 3.
All right.
Congratulations. One final song for the evening.
Sure. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine yesterday about music. Can you believe that?
No. Really?
No.
You and music?
And she said,
okay,
one of her favorite things is when you hear a song be played either on the radio or a jukebox by a band you really like, but it's a song that you never hear.
Okay.
So this one is from the U2 album Boy, which is 38 years old. Can you believe that?
Ah, time
flies. Came out
in
1980.
Wow.
It's called The Electric Company on Motor City Static.
All right, U2 there on the Biff Radio Network, Shadows and Tall Trees.
Mm-hmm. They must, when they transferred this from album to CD, they must have messed up the track listing somehow.
All right.
But it is an official release. It's just a song orders off for some reason.
Okay, that's it. We've done run out of network time. We will not be here next Sunday. We'll probably have a best of.
Out eating ham.
Yes. So, Chuck, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Ron.
And
Hazard, thanks to the Biff for having us.
Oh, thank you very much. That's real nice of you. And Hazard?
Yes?
I'm very proud of you today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for letting me join your family there at Zion Christ Church.
No problem.
Until next time. Have a happy Easter, everybody.